The Mishnah Berurah brings in Siman Tzadik, Chai Odom brings, everybody brings this Yesod, that there's a din of Schar Psiyos, that if you have two shuls in the neighborhood, and one is further away from you than the other one, the mitzvah is to go to the one that is further, because you have Schar Psiyos. You know, that's one of those things that you feel, at least I feel so bad conscienced about all this business. This idea of Schar Psiyos. I mean, so I drive to shul, let's say. But, I mean, the concept of Schar Psiyos is there. What is this concept of Schar Psiyos? That the further you walk to shul, somehow it's better. Now, what, for example, if you have two cholim, one of them is in one hospital, the other one is in a different hospital, and you can only be mevakeh cholim one of them. Is there a mitzvah to go to the further one? Avada not. The din of Schar Psiyos, Rav Hutner talks about in one of his Maimorim, I think it's Poshut, that there is no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to go for long walks in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. That only applies to tefillah. Why? Because tefillah is what are we doing when we're davening? We're being oimed lifnei hamelech. The Gemara says that the shir of shichrus, that in order that the shikha should not be able to be mispalel, should not be allowed to be mispalel, is that he can't be oimed lifnei hamelech. So Rav Tzadik says, not the pshat is that it's a shir ba'alma, that it's like a simon. How much is shikha if you can't be oimed lifnei hamelech? Tefillah is being oimed lifnei hamelech. Mimele, if you're such a shikah who can't be oimed lifnei hamelech, so you can't be mispalel. So tefillah is oimed lifnei hamelech. If the yesod of tefillah is that closeness, so the closer you get, that's already a chelek of your tefillah. It must by bikur cholim. It's nothing to do with being close to the person. It's got to do with helping him, with doing things for him, whatever it is. So that's a mitzvah. So why should the walking be part of that? But over here, the walking is coming closer, so that the ultimate oimed lifnei hamelech, the ultimate amido lifnei hamelech, is the culmination of all the steps that you have taken in the process, and therefore the Schar Psiyos, the longer you walk, the greater your hachana. That's what we're dealing with. That makes me feel so bad, because I can't say who thinks of these things, because maybe all of you do. I know I don't. When I'm walking to shul, I'm not thinking, oh boy, every step I'm taking, I'm coming closer to the Rabbi Nishleilem. Or let's say I'm driving to shul. I'm not thinking every yard which I come closer to shul brings me a little closer to Hashem. Think of other things while I'm going or while I'm... So it's one of those things which we do, and Avada Gevis, like everybody knows this yesod of the Schar Psiyos, and I guess that when the situation arises, so we try to do that. But to say that we are really living through the experience which the halacha wants us to experience as we're going to shul, it's a mitzvah anoshe melumoda, and it's so important that we should get used to not doing our Jewish gestures in such a way that we're not thinking about it. That means theoretically in the Maisa, we're going to shul, every step should be covered. Believe me, I'm not trying to say Musa over here, I'm so far away from this, but that is how a good yid is supposed to do that as he goes to shul, he's thinking, I'm coming closer and closer to this enormous experience that I'm going to go when I'm going to be mispalel to the Rebbein Shalom. So the shaila is, of course, what's it got to do with Parshas Vayetze? It has to do with Parshas Vayetze because of the Kfitzas HaDerech, that Vayifka Bamokan. So Chazal says, Gemara in Chulin, that Yaakov Avinu had Kfitzas HaDerech, that the land came out to meet him. He had said, when he got to Choron, he said, Oy, Esher Shovati al Mokam Shispalelu Shom Avoisai, and I wasn't mispalel there. And so he decided to go back, and there was a Kfitzas HaDerech, the Mokam came out to meet him. wanted to read to you a little passage from the Michtav Me'Elyohu, from Rav Dessler in the second volume. This is on page 66. This is a section that deals with tefillah. So I'll just read this little paragraph to you. Kishahamufra v'asholem shebet tzadikim magia lid madregas hadvekas shebet tefillah. When, and really Elchayit, the Rabbi Dessler calls him the Mufra and the Sholem Shubit Tzadikim. Magia le Madregas Hadvekas Shubit Fila. Oya Filu Rak El Hahachono Hashleim Oleho. Even just getting ready to daven. Loi Ta Amoidnu Befonov Gam Hahakbolo Shel Zmanu Mokan. That means that he is, even in his Hachono, he's already so close to the Rebbeinu Shleilam that time and space will not stand in his way. V'hakol bo mimele el hamatzav hanitzach la'avoidosai. Zehu geder kfitza sa'oretz shenemro b'yakov ovinu olav ha'sholam. Oma, efsha shovati al mokam shispalulu boi avoisai, shu mesugel l'tfilo b'dveikos mikamotamim v'lohis palolti. Yohiv daite le mihada bekovtza loy haoretz. Hu rak hechen es atzmoy loshov le mokam hatfila hechoshov umimei le shuv loy hoyo ikuv klal ki la avoidosoy hu ruchnis kva loy hoyo tzoyrach behagbolas mecha kamakoymas. He didn't need that space which the rest of us need for shrapsias. Elo adarabo hoyo tzoyrach sheyeesham. Umimele hoyasham, kikol kle gabre kefi hatzorach leruchnius bilbad. Kikol keli nivro, excuse me, kefi hatzorach leruchnius bilbad. So this is a sort of a Pesach into the sugya of Yaakov that we're learning over here now in Vayetze. This idea of the kfitzas haderech, and Ramban asks over the that by Eliezer, the Kfitzas HaDerech was that Eliezer got to Laban's place very quickly. Here the Kfitzas HaDerech was not that Yaakov got there, but the land came to him. Why is it like that? Let's just read that paragraph also in the Rav Dessler. V'heru bozeh le'Yaakov avinu olav ha'sholom ki betfilah bo Hashem yizborach le'umosai. The Rebbein Shem comes to him u'miskarev elav v'kach mishave hadvekes. Weil kein bequitzes hat der Rasois Bohara Maria Lekrosai ein Rashi, und qua Hickschor am Bansatzal, bei Mensch Tanne quitzes hat der Rasois Mehode Eliezer Ewe Davor, wo Indien Hu, die Kach Gede hat Fille Wachonossa, Schoruchni ist Bo Lekras hat Zadek, ham es keine in Lischäu verleer, und im Mele Gamma Hagbola, Haklila, Sogos Ruchni ist Mishtanis Bematzev Seh, the land came out to Jakob Avinu. Now, it's, you know, at the level at which Rav Dessler is thinking about all these things is way beyond anything that I can really sort of organically fit into that. My own feeling is, I don't know whether that's matim with what Rav Dessler is saying, or whether it's another aspect of it, whether, I don't know, whatever it is. I have a feeling that the reason why over here the Mokan came to meet Yaakov, not that Yaakov was transported to the Mokan, I think that perhaps has to do with the Rashi at the end of Chukas. So what happened over there, that the Yidden were going through these two great mountains, and the guy was sitting in the caves of the one mountain, and they wanted to throw avonim and blisteroids when the Yidden were going through. So what happened? So not like most of us think or thought. I heard this once from Yochanan Zweig, that not the pshat is that the two mountains came together. No, the Chutzlauristika mountain stayed absolutely where it was, didn't move an inch. And the people were sitting there in their caves. The Eretz Yisrael, the mountain, came out and with the protrusions killed the people in the caves. What's the pshat of Yochanan Zweig? That's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael wants to help Yidden. Chutz La'aretz is not interested in us. And there's a mountain, is a mountain, is a mountain, is a mountain, and it's standing over there, but no ma'ameh. The Eretz Yisrael digger mountain says, no, I have to lend a hand over here. Kishifra, the lotion over there is, Kishifra hayotzeis likras gevirta. So it came out to crush the murderers in the cave. And I think that's what happened here also. Yaakov was already in Choron, Chutz Loretz, and now he had to go back. So the Eretz said, fine, I'll come and meet you. Just like over there, the mountain came to help out the Yidden. So over here also, the mountain came to help out Yaakov Avinu. He had to go back there. He wanted to go back there. Now the Shaila is, why did he have to go back? Like, what is that? I mean, like, he lived in Eretz Yisrael before he went to Mitzrayim, or later on, or now in the story where we're up to now over here. I mean, till then he didn't live Davka in Har Meiriah. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't davening the whole time by Har Meiriah. Why was it so important that he should daven in the Mokam Shispalulu Shama Voisai? What's so important about that? That he already got to the place where he needed to get, and now he's going to schlep all the way back to Har Meiriah. There must have been, I don't know how long a journey, days, weeks, I don't know. So within Eretz Yisrael, it took Avraham 3 days to get from where he was living to get to the Har Meiriah. He was in Chutz Loretz already. So it must have been like a schlep. So what's so great about davening b'mokom shehispalul shama v'secho? You, every time you were in Eretz Yisrael, so you could have gone there and davened. I think that it's mukhach from the context over here, that the need to be mispalel in the mokon shespalelu by a voiceof was dafka because he was on his way to Chutz Loretz. Not stamazoi, that every tefillah which he davened, perhaps it would have been enhanced, who knows, but it wasn't that much of that. Why can you daven anywhere else except in the Mokom Shespalul Shama Voisov? Yeah, if you're living someplace else, you daven over there, you go once in a while, but it's not a chance that you have to daven there. Over here the pshat is like this. He says, Oy Gewalt, was it for nothing that the way from where I lived to Choron led by Har Meiriah? Weißt doch eus, that on my way out to Chutz Loretz, I'm going to pass the Mokom Shehispalelu Shama Voisai. Wow, I better go and daven there. I need that in order to make my way in Chutz Loretz. See, I want to be ma'ayin in a few minutes. So these are all these stories over here of the Ovos. We know them so well, and we learned them in kindergarten. But like it always is, you know, there's so much depth everywhere, and we tend not to be aware of it. So what did Yaakov say when he came back finally to Eretz Yisrael? Im lovan gati vo'echa ad oto, when he sends messengers to Esav. Im lovan gati vo'echa ad oto vahili shoyvacham zayin ve'evet v'shifro v'eshlach la'agid l'adoni. So we all know the Rashi, that im lovan gati is the loshen, the same gematria as tariag. So im lovan gati uvetariag mitzvah shomati v'loy lomadati mima'asov haro'im. And weiter Rashi says over there, gati, I was only a ger over there. I didn't settle there. I didn't feel at home over there. But I lived there. I had to be there temporarily. Now, see, I think that's the smichus apashias. Im lo vagati vo echa ad otto. I mean, Esav could have asked, if Esav would have been so inclined. He says, you're a strange cookie. You say that you lived there only in an agoistic kind of way. By me, 20 years isn't such an agoistic way. So, mimonashach. I mean, so if you were so uncomfortable there, and if you really were not lomad mitrochav, and you felt like a stranger, so who was twisting your arm that you have to stay there for 20 years? What's going on over there? And second of all, why is it Esav's business? That's also a very strange kind of thought. Mapitom, like, he has to tell Esav that he kept the Tariag mitzvahs. I mean, Esav would have said hello to him if he didn't keep the Tariag mitzvahs. He didn't keep the Tariag mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you have to keep the Tayyag mitzvahs for? And then there's the kasha which the Maharal asked, which all of us ought to ask. He didn't really keep the Tayyag mitzvahs in such a conscientious way. He married the two sisters. What is going on in this little passage? So it seems to me that this Pashas Vayetze, which we're learning now, and this whole sugya of the Golus of Yaakov Avinu, I think that what we're learning is the sugya. There's the Medrash Tanchuma in Nosai. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYosef, Yosef, Kishiyigalu Yisroel Geulas Olamim. When the time comes, it's so nageya to us. Kishiyigalu Yisroel Geulas Olamim. Mashiach is on the way, apparently. So Kishiyigalu Yisroel Geulas Olamim. Bischus Yaakov uvischuscha heim negolim. It's going to be in the schus of Yaakov and in your schus. Shenema ve'ele, excuse me, go'alto bezroya amcho b'nei Yaakov v'yosef selo. That's in Tehillim ein zayin tezayin. Go'alto bezroya amcho b'nei Yaakov v'yosef. So it's going to be Yaakov's and Yosef's schus that brings us back to Golos. No, Yosef is obvious because Yosef was our Rebbe in Golos and accompanies us through Golos in all our years of Golos. The Golos of Mitzrayim, a 17-year-old boy, without a friend, without a family, without anything. I mean, to understand what Yosef must have gone through in those years. So I can understand that the Geula will come in the sus of Yosef. What is Yaakov's chelek in the Geula Acharoina? So the emphasis is also something that Rafutna deals with. I think that I've mentioned a few times that he touches up the Ovos, the Kesha of the Ovos to Eretz Yisrael, which is apparently the central theme of Sefer Bereshis. So his Nisur, the way he was Menaseach, is that Avraham was the first one who came, Yitzchak is the first one who stayed, and Yaakov is the first one who returned. Now, it's each one was megale, a different aspect of the nature of Eretz Yisrael and the nature of the tie between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham was mechadesh, the coming to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was mechadesh, and that's not an easy avoider at all, the staying in Eretz Yisrael. His chiddush was that you don't have to be mechadesh. The chiddush is that you can dig the wells which your father dug. Be in Eretz Yisrael, not because you're a pioneer, not because you're building, but because that is your Mokam. And Yaakov was the first one who returned. So the chat is like this. I think that what Yaakov is telling Esav, when he says, Im lovan gati, vo eicha at ota, so again, what's he saying over there? Gati, I was a ger, and I didn't assimilate. Gati, I kept the Tariyak mitzvahs. But it took me a long time. What's the pshat? I think that the pshat is that what Yaakov is saying is, I'll tell you why vo'echa at ota. Why, in other words, he was bavoning that Esav shouldn't become cynical. Esav understood why had Yaakov run away to Choron, so that Esav shouldn't kill him. Esav knew very well what he had decided. He had decided to kill Yaakov, and somehow Yaakov got the wind of that, and he decided to run away. So, but 20 years, isn't that very offensive to Esav? That you think it takes me 20 years to cool down a little bit and not to want to kill you? I'm a friendly guy. He braces him, he kisses him later. What 20 years? You couldn't have come home earlier. If the only reason why you went out there is because you were afraid of my vengeance, so why did it take you so long? I would stay 20 years for that. So the tale is that Yaakov, right away, in the first moment that he meets Esav, he wants to explain to him. He says, no, Avada Gevis, I ran out in order to that you shouldn't kill me. But you know what? The Rabbani Shem runs my life. And I had to ask myself, why does the Rabbani Shem want me out in Chutz Lorz? Why doesn't he want me in Eretz Yisrael? Every day outside Eretz Yisrael is a terrible thing. Why does he want me there? So I understood that he wanted me out there because he needed that one of the ovos should be mechadish the koyach and klal yisrael, the maise ovos simen lebonim, that it's shayach to go through a long, long golos. 20 years is a lot of time. It's shayach to go through a long, long golos and come back holy, whole. Like Rashi says over there and later on in Vayishlach, that he was Sholem, Vayova Yaakov Sholem, Yeshachem, Sholem B'Tarosa, Sholem B'Momoina, Sholem B'Gufa. He remained untouched. And I think that's what he's telling Esav. He says to Esav, listen, yeah? I understand that you're not going to kill me at this point, but I want you to understand the rules of the game. Don't think that because I've been spending 20 years now in Lavan's house, that I have changed, and that now our relationship is going to be, everybody's palsy, wellsy, everything is nished. I'm the same Yaakov. Sholem b'toyrosi, sholem b'gufi, sholem b'momoni. I am an independent yid. And I'm not dependent on you. Remember, I got the brochas. You know why I stayed 20 years? Because the Rebbeinu Shem wanted me to be the Av, who's going to be the Av in whose chus the ultimate Geula will come. So I had to have a long golus, because relative, but it was a long golus. And I have to tell you that I did exactly what I was supposed to do. Namely, what was I supposed to do? In golus. Oh, so we know the Ramban Shitta. The Ramban Shitta is that the mitzvahs are the mitzvahs Elokei Ha'oretz, that the mitzvahs are really only in Eretz Yisrael, and in Chutz La'oretz we keep the mitzvahs, because Hetzivi L'chotz Yonim, that just like the guy goes through a forest, so he chips pieces off the trees to find his way back so that he can identify the trees which he passed on the way out, he should be able to find his way back. So the mitzvahs of Chutz La'oretz are there in order that we should be sure to, when we return to Eretz Yisrael and Yetz Hashem, we should know exactly about all the mitzvahs. And that's stuck in the Teretz. He said, Tayak mitzvahs shomati. Now, he married the two achiyos. That's true. He married the two achiyos. But he had a reason for marrying the two achiyos, because Rochel was his zivuk, and Leah, and what's his name, and Lavan had swindled him with Leah, whatever the reason was. The emesis, for Tisrael had sich nicht gepasst, and that's this unbelievable Ramban in two places later on in Bereshis, where he says that's why Rochel had to die on the way back to Eretz Yisrael, because in Chutz La'aretz, right, that's the Ramban shit, that the Ovas kept the Torah, but not in Eretz Yisrael, or not in Chutz La'aretz, or at least in Chutz La'aretz they were flexible, and if there was a cheshbon, why he should marry Rochel, so he felt that he was right in marrying her. And I'm sure he was right. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the Torah blames him for that. Except that it's interesting that the Ramban says later on in Vayechi, the Ramban says, so she had to die before he returned to Eretz Yisrael, because he was ashamed. He was ashamed of his others, and the others of Machpelah. He's going to say, and they're going to say, well, you come over here being married to two sisters, Ma'apetam. The Torah says, you're not supposed to do that. So it's a little sort of ambiguous, the fact that Yaakov went through with Mary and Rochel. But that's not our sugya. But the fact is, that was a shmira of the Tayak mitzvahs as they appear in Eretz Yisrael. Why did I have to have this goal put on my shoulders? Keep the Tayak mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz, because I'm going to be the Tata of Golos. I'm going to be the Av of Klal Yisrael, who teaches us and who will bind us to our ultimate destiny of the Geula. That's what he said. So Mimele, he felt that in order to be such a functionary in the structure of the Ovos, that I'm supposed to be the Av who proves that it's shayach to return from Golos, the first one who returned from Golos, I have to make sure that I'm nothing more than a projection of Avraham and Yitzchak. And that's why he felt, I have to go to the Mokam Shishpalelu Shom Avosai. Yeah, I have to go to Har HaMoriah. This is where Avraham davened, that's where Yitzchak davened. I have to take a deep breath over there. And I have to say, I am going to go now to Chutz La'aretz, but I'm going to go as my father's Avraham and Yitzchak, the worthy representative, the one whose every tenua is governed by what Avraham put into me and what Yitzchak put into me. That's the person I'm going to go, and it's that which makes my trip meaningful, because without going to the Mokoim Shehis Palelusham Avaisai, then it's going to be meaningless. Because if I'm going to go to Chutz La'aretz as Yankel and not as the son of Avraham Yitzchak and as a reflection of their chinuch, so then I'm not going to be the Tata who's going to guarantee that Klal Yisrael is going to come back whole from Golus. My tafkid is Yisrus Yaakov v'Yosef. That's really what's going on over here, I think. And that is it. So against this background, I'd like to think a little bit, like, to, as I say in the sugya of Yaakov, to get to understand Yaakov a little bit more than the superficial way in which we tend to think about him. So what's this story? Vayishka b'mokom ahu, but Vayishem v'eva, he didn't sleep. 14 years is a long time not to sleep. So what does that fucking mean? I mean, how can you live for 14 years without sleeping? It's unbelievable. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days, lechem le'ochel, ma'am le'shosa, over 14 years without sleep. And like, what's it does? I mean, we're trying, the Torah is telling us over here, you're supposed to be a masmid. No, if you're a masmid, you can be without, even if you sleep sometimes. I mean, even the chazni slept sometimes. What the Gaon, they say, slept 2 hours and 24 hours, but he slept for 2 hours and 24 hours. But not to sleep for four, that's unbelievable. So what's really going on? So I think that, see, I want to think about what Rabbi Dessler says about this Kvitzas HaDerech. Let's read again what he says. He says that כשהמובחר והשולם שבצדיקם מגיע למדרגס הדבקוס שבתפילה, that means he gets to that דבקוס which the ideal תפילה personifies, או אפילו רק אל ההכונה השלם עליה, even if he's not davening yet, he's only being making himself, he's on the way כאילו, לא שעמודנו בפונוב גם ההגבולו של זמן ומוקם. Time and space does not exist for him. V'akol bo mimele el hamatzav hanitzrich la'avodosei. I mean, what's the story over here with the stones? Vayikach me'avnei hamokim. And later on it says, vayikach esoev, and so Rashi says that they became one, that all the stones, Olayu niach tzadik as Rashi, so they all became one stone. So what's that got to do with anything? I mean, so let's say it hadn't become one stone. I mean, what's going on over here? Is that one sugya? I think it's one sugya. The sugya that Yaakov did not sleep for 14 years in the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Ve'eva, and that the stones became one, I think is one sugya. And that brings us to the side of we've talked about it a lot of times, this idea of the chalukah which Yaakov and Esav made in Rivka's womb, that Yaakov took Olam Habo and Esav took Olam Hazeh. So we've talked a lot of times, I think, that, you know, that's why we have to make a bracha before we eat. The goyim don't have to make a bracha. The goyim, they got olam hazeh, and so they have no problems. Everything is theirs. By us, nothing is ours. We have no rights down here. Ki hu zeh? Nothing, 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 nothing. So we have to buy our way into the things that we need. And that's the bracha, and so on. I think that Yaakov, who is the av of that Hanhoge, Yaakov, who got in the Chalukah Olam Habo, what he got was real Ben Olam Habo. That that he was remained totally untouched by his golus in Lovan's house, is the pshat is he was taka untouched. He was purely a ben olam haba, and a ben olam haba doesn't have to sleep. That's a physical need, and the physical need you don't have, so he doesn't have it. He did not have to sleep. A ben olam haba doesn't know about the ribui of olam hazeh. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'oretz. How big, even that you can be mine in Pasha's Shema, it's the first Pasha over there, that we have to say Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Levav B'chol, B'chol Nafshecho, B'chol Ma'edechem. It's not for now, it takes us too long. But if you look at that Pasha carefully, you'll see, I think, that what the Pasha is saying is that there's an echad of Klal Yisrael connected to the echad of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're goy echad ba'oretz. That's why we guarantee our children, and that's why we deal with our neighbors when we wear tefillin and with mezuzahs. It's all that Klal Yisrael, the ideal Klal Yisrael, is as echad in its own terms as the Ribbono Shel Olam is echad kiyochel in his terms. So Yaakov Avinu was Mr. Olam Habo in Olam Hazeh. He didn't have to sleep until he had to go and get himself more involved in Olam Hazeh. But as long as he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, so he didn't have to sleep. There he didn't have any reason to be Isaac in Yone Olam Hazeh. So he didn't. He wasn't Isaac in Olam Hazeh. I mean, maybe he slept the whole time. And here also, he's at the Mokom Shispalu Shamaroysam, he's at the Mokom HaMikdash. At the Mokom HaMikdash, his Ben Olam HaBonus can be expressed in the correct way. The stones are really one. There's no such thing as Me'avne HaMokom, several stones. There's only the stone that is what the emes is in the Mokom HaMikdash. So the Yichud which comes with being a Ben Olam Habo, that comes with being either in the Beis HaMikdash of Shem Ve'eva or being in the Mokom HaMikdash. So it's the same sugya. That is who Yaakov was. And Yaakov understood that can only happen if he comes with Avraham and Yitzchak. He comes with Avraham and Yitzchak. Esher she'ovati al mokom she'ispallu sham avosai v'shovati, and I didn't daven there, so he had to go back, otherwise his whole shlichus was not going to be done. Maybe I want to finish already, but I think that's what Rav Dessler means with the Kvitzes HaDerech. Oh, it's really not fair to say that I think that's what he means. I mean, he says what he means, and he doesn't need Moshe Eisenman to tell him what he should have meant. But what I'll tell you what it means to me, what he said over here. This idea that the Mushlam and the Sholem, the Mufra and the Sholem, so he's not held back by either the boundaries of time or the boundaries of place. And that's why the Kvitzes HaDerech. See, I have Ha'or, which I'll share with you, and then that'll be that. I think that the vote is, see, I don't understand. The emes is, I don't understand what Chazal is saying over here. Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu, he was Mesaken Tfilas Marev. We know that Avraham was Mesaken Shachris, and Yitzchak was Mesaken Mincha. So Yaakov was Mesaken Aves. So that's why he went back to the Mokom HaMikdash to daven there, and that davening, the Maharal said, how do you know he was Mesaken? Answer is, because to tell us that he davened, you don't have to tell me that he davened by Yifka. Yifka reminds us of Tfilah. So yeah, he davened every day. So what's so special about the davening now? It must be that this davening was special. And what was special about this davening? That it was a takona of Ma'ariv. Now why did he need a Kvitzes HaDerech for that? Why did he need that Eretz Yisrael should come out and meet him? Sadrava, let him walk and let him have the schapsiers. Ah, what a beautiful schapsiers. Maybe a couple of months worth of schapsiers to get back and walk back from Choron to the Mokom Amigdra. I don't know, maybe it's only a couple of weeks, maybe it's only a couple of days, but there's plenty of psiers there. So why did he need that? So I think that Yaakov, because he was the Ben Olam Haba, and Mimele he doesn't sleep except when he needs to sleep, once he's involved in Olam Hazeh, but when he's in the yeshiva he doesn't sleep. That's why the stones become one, because Yichud. So I think that by Yaakov, he didn't need any of this. He didn't need the Shrapsias. I think that Yaakov Avinu, now it doesn't say that Loshen as far as I know the Gavi Yaakov Avinu, so I may not be right. But I think that what it means is that Yaakov was a Cheftza of Tefillah. Just like David HaMelech said, Ani Tefillah, not the Pshat is I am a man who prays, but I am the Cheftza of Tefillah. That's what David HaMelech said. And I think that by Yaakov, he was constantly Oymed Lifnei HaMelech. So he doesn't need the Shab Seers. He doesn't need the aid which space gives us. Theoretically, if we would be Elech Yidden and Taki use our time well as we're walking to Shul or driving to Shul, to be Mechen ourselves for that supreme moment when we stand in front of the Rebbein Shalom, if we were to do that. So we need that Hachana. That's a very important Hachana, and that's why it's better to go to a further away shul than to go to a closer shul. But David HaMelech didn't need that. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu didn't need that. Why? Because wherever he was, I need to fill up. So he needed to be there because of the hashpur of Avraham and Yitzhak, the Mokam. He didn't say Efshe Shovati al Mokam Hamikdash. Why doesn't he say Efshe Shovati al Mokam Hamikdash? He says Efshe Shovati al Mokam Shispalu Shamavosa. Tell us this: I need Avraham and Yitzhak. Okay, you need them. We'll bring them right to you. Kitzes are there. The Mokam comes to him. Why do I want to touch it like that? Because in the end of Shmuel Beis, when we get to the end of David HaMelech, almost to the end of David HaMelech, so there's a parsha over there which very, very interesting and complicated. But the kitzur, it's interesting that in Sefer Shmuel, in all the events which happened in David HaMelech's life and in connection with which he said Tehillim, none of the Tehillim are quoted in Shmuel. Very, very interesting. Not a single one of the Tehillim is quoted in Sefer Shmuel. Not verbatim. You have to be Ma'ayan. Why isn't it? But that's not Nagea to us. The fact is that there's one Tehillim that is quoted all the way at the end of Shmuel Beis in Perek of Gimel. That's the Perek before the last. Ve'ele divrei David ha'acharonim. Nu'um David ben Yishai un'um ha'gever Hukam ol Mashiach Elokei Yaakov un'im zemiros Yisrael. Every word over here and the Mizmah itself is a long, long, big issue, very complicated and not for us now in a shiur like this. However, it does seem that this is the last Tehillim which David HaMelech said. Ve'ele divrei David ha'acharonim. And I had a problem, because why does David need such an elaborate introduction? Nu'um David ben Yishai, that's who I am. Nu'um ha'geva hukam ol, whatever that means, Chazal say, she'ekimul ha'shel tshuva. That's another thing that I did. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, the anointed one of the God of Yaakov. What does he need such a big Mizmah to David? David Mizmah. The whole of Sefer Tehillim was perfectly satisfied with a very simple, non-elaborate introduction. And here, he sort of draws on every single source which he can draw. So I think, I can't say that it is so, but when I was Ma'ayin and when I wrote my book on Music Made in Heaven on David HaMelech, so what occurred to me at the time was that he felt the Ruach which had entered him when Shmuel was anointed him. He felt it was ebbing away. He knew this was the last. This was going to be the last of his Tehillim. The truth is that if you look at the Tehillim, it's very, very staccato, like little phrases. They don't fit together so well. It's a whole big story. But Mimele, he wanted to draw on every source that was available to him, that this one last of Tehillim, this one supreme effort at the end of his life to say another song of praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he drew on every single source that was available to him. And I needed to ask myself, why does he call himself Mashiach Elokei Yaakov? He said, I'm David Ben Yishai. Okay, that's okay. I'm the Gever Hukam Ol. Okay, I'm the name Zmiros Yisrael. Okay. But why am I the Mashiach Elokei Yaakov? Why not Avraham? Why not Yitzchak? Why bring Yaakov into this? And I think that is what I was driving at in this whole shiur today about Yaakov Avinu. Think that just like David HaMelech said Ani Tefillah, that David HaMelech was a Chefzer of Tefillah. So Yaakov Avinu was also Ani Tefillah. It doesn't say that Loshen by him, but Lemaise, that's what it means. He didn't have to sleep. The stones became one. He didn't need the Srap Seers. Why? Because he's constantly by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is what it is. Because he's the Ben Olam Haba. What are you when you're a Ben Olam Haba? When you're a Ben Olam Haba, you're somebody who doesn't need Srap Seers. It's mamish the same inside. So David HaMelech said that I'm the Mashiach. The Ribbono Shel Olam anointed me as the king of Klal Yisrael to give Klal Yisrael the Sefer Tehillim. I feel that I did that as Yaakov's descendant. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. Because that's what I need. That's what I need. I need, just like Yaakov, to be able to come back from this terrible Golus by Lavan, untouched and untainted. So my life has also been like that. There were events in my life where I did not act as I should have acted. I had to do the whole tshuva with the Maaseh Bas Sheva. Later on there was the census. There were things that David HaMelech, and that's a whole big sugya, why that should have happened, but that's not for now. But I want to be the one who can also return. There were events in my life which I did not act the way I should have acted. That's why I had to do tshuva. But I want to be like Yaakov, that Yaakov can get back from a golus, untainted. So I want, at this last moment of my life, when I'm going to say my last kapitel tillim, let me be a Yaakov. Let me return from a life which was at best checkered. There were ups and downs. And let me return and be Sholem and be able to be Mechaber, this one Sefer, it was one Perek Tehillim, and that is going to be my farewell to Klal Yisrael.